Waiting for people to join. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Yes?
Hello, who is this?
Nakobe.
Nakobe?
Yes.
Okay, Brother Latif. Pastor, are that you? Somebody else come online?
Not yet.
Oh, sound like somebody jumped on. Are you new or have you been coming?
I'm new to the Bible study. Gotta push mute.
Oh, gotcha. Well, nice to meet you. You said, how do you say your name again?
Nakobe.
Nakobe. Nice to meet you, Nakobe. I'm Ati.
Thank you.
Usually everybody starts. Oh, there you go. Hello?
Good evening.
Hello, Pastor. Just sitting here talking to Nakobe.
Oh, very good. Hold on for a minute. I've got two lines here. Let me cut this out. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Yep.
Hey, Nakobe. How
are
you?
Hey, how you doing? I'm all right.
I'm blessed. I'm awesome. Yep. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, no problem.
Mm-hmm. Give me 1 second here.
I'm here. I'm just pushing the mute. I'm here. I'm just pushing the mute button.
Well, don't do that yet, because typically what we do is when we start a meeting, we sort of kind of we got to talk about how our week is going. We want to see if, you know, if you're starting to see God work in your life, and if so, how does he work, and what are you seeing him doing, things like that. And so we also just got joined by, is that Dewan? Dewan, who, did you just join? So we have Latif, we have Nakobe. Who else is with us? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, the person will speak if they want to speak. So let's go around the room first. Thank you all for joining us. We're going to go to about 5:40. We'll just have some general discussion. By 5:40, typically most of the people that are coming are here. And once they come in, we have prayer. And after we have prayer, we begin to read. Tonight, we will be reading from the book of Galatians. We will be reading from the book of Galatians. Sister Angela, God bless you.
Galatians.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm excited.
We just finished up 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And so we're now moving into the book of Galatians. And we're going to be in the first chapter. Praise the Lord. Right? So, but before we get into that, it's 5:32. Let me just go around the room. Latia, how was your week? How's everything going?
There's a lot. A lot has actually happened. Something like new. You can ask everybody else. I don't want to take up too much time. I can. You can go see my mom and stuff like that. Then I can go after them.
Okay, you got a book going on. I got you.
Yeah.
Get ready to write a new book and add it to the Bible. the book of Latif, praise the Lord. So let me start with Sister Walker. Sister Angela, how's your week going?
It's going good. I have an interview tomorrow at Mercy Hospital for a nursing position. Yes, full time, second shift. So please keep me in your prayers tonight. Please.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. We'll remember to do so. So that's the big thing. You have it. So, I mean, you believe God did that for you? You think that it just happened? I mean, I'm trying to figure out if anybody is seeing God do things in their life.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I know God really is. In the skillet now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nothing but God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I don't want to pull teeth. I'm not a dentist. So I'll just keep right on going. Let me go over to Sister Nicole. What about you? Hey. How's your week going?
It's been peaceful, I can really say. Me and Sister Darlene had a little Bible study this morning. We was talking on the word forward, moving forward. It's been different, I can really say, with me being obedient and reading more and just at peace. And this weekend, I won't be at church this weekend. I'll be out there with my brother. His birthday is Sunday, and I'm going to help him clean his house.
Well, bless your heart. That's an awesome thing to do.
Good evening.
God bless your heart. Good evening. Who just joined?
Gloria.
Gloria, God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you. Good evening. So we're going around the room, Gloria. About 5:40, we're going to have prayer. Then we're going to start reading from the book of Galatians. But we're kind of going around the room tonight and just asking people how their week going. Have they seen God do anything, right? I mean, we should be noticing God do stuff, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Right?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Okay, so then now let me go to Sister Hawanda. God bless you. Thanks for joining.
Yeah,
So let me go to Brother Latif. And I know you said you want to take up a lot of time, so give us the Reader's Digest version.
Yeah, so I ended up a few weeks ago at my job. I ended up coming across this guy. We were just like casually talking and all that other stuff. And you know, I'm still, you know, learning and understanding how, like, you know, learning to spread the gospel in a way, but, you know, not coming off too strong. And just because I don't believe in coincidences anymore. He happened to be a believer. So we ended up started talking and stuff like that. Everything was going good. He told me about his father, who was also, he's a pastor, but he's been having a lot of health issues. So we both ended up, you know, praying with each other. Everything keeps going by. A few days ago, or yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, we were, and we ended up talking with each other. And so our conversation was talking about God, you know, like, you know, education, things like that. And then he ended up kind of like, I don't know if you ever noticed that when you have someone who's talking to you and then they feel like they want to say something, but they're not sure how you're going to take it. I was like, okay, cool. So I was like, hey, man, we're in a body of Christ. You know, I'm a follower. You know, you can tell me, you know, it's all good. You know, I got you. So he ended up basically explaining to me that he was struggling with pornography. Because he's a believer, and I see the fruits. I hear him talk. He knows his word. He understands lordship. He gets it. He's on that level, you know. And so he's explaining to me and all that, and then like I'm kind of just like wow, because you know I came across him, and I don't genuinely like kind of like ask why I come across certain people too much. I kind of just like okay, so it's just another believer, but I'm kind of like because me. I was going on 16 years of that. 16 years from adolescence, my brain is developing. I'm watching pornography. It's doing a lot to my brain. You know, messing up gray matter. Anxiety through the roof, panic attacks, things like that. You know, watching certain you know things like that and ingesting that you know spiritually. So. As he's telling me that, I can see, you know, because God sees the people's hearts. He sees their intent. And looking at him, and he started, you know, kind of started crying. And so I see the pain, you know, he's telling me like I'm tired. You know, I want this to stop. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to, you know, you could tell it's a stronghold on him. And I'm just like me going on almost 3.5 years, not doing it anymore completely. And I'm just like, okay, Father, I see what you're doing now because I figured it out. I learned how to do it. Now I can give him the formula. And I can say that that was the first time I actually cried with a stranger before and felt that pain because I saw it in his eyes. I know that feeling when you really want to stop something and you know it's wrong, but it keeps eating at you and it keeps getting you at your lowest point, telling me that he's depressed and all types of stuff. So I felt that with him. So I just, I let go. Like I had no choice to, because I was sharing that burden with him. I know what it's like.
Praise the Lord.
And so after that, it was just, yeah. And then, you know, we had that moment and that it was amazing. I didn't think I would ever have a moment like that, but yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, God, boy, what an awesome testimony. Glory to God. What an awesome testimony. That was beautiful.
Amen.
Thank you. And
amen.
And amen. It's very important that we all get that. And I'll tell you why. And then we're going to go. It's 5:39. We're going to have prayer in a minute. But I'd like to open up on what Lachi said. I would like for you all to write down on a piece of paper or in on the tablet of your heart, right? Divine appointments. Write that word down, please. Divine appointments. And the reason that I want you to write that down is because when you're in Christ, you really don't have coincidences like when you were in the world. When you run into people, a lot of times they're divine appointments. They're people that God wanted you to come past or to connect to for the purpose of your being able to help them on a journey that you have already been through. Here's a good way to look at it. If I were a guide for the Amazon jungle, the first time I went into that jungle, and let's say I had on a white suit, by the time I got to the other side, my suit was pretty tainted, pretty green, pretty messed up, and pretty salted, right? Or soaked. But after you've gone through the jungle a couple of times, you can now lead somebody through the jungle with a white suit. And by the time they get through, the white suit stays white. Why? Because you found the way. Now you can lead. Let me try that again, because that's shouting stuff to me. You found the way. Now you can lead. I think it was last week we were all talking, and we were talking about, it might have been last week, and we were talking about snake venom.
Yes. Snake venom.
So if a snake bites you and it's a poisonous snake, you die. The only way that they can prevent that bite from killing you is that they use a contravenom that came from the same type of a snake that they milked the snake and they introduced lamb's blood into, and the snake's venom and the lamb's blood end up becoming an antitoxin that ends up curing the person they got bit.
Yeah.
Same snake.
Yeah.
Only difference in the blood. Let me try it again, because I don't think we're really listening to this part. Same snake. Just
snake.
The blood is now making it a different item. And so a lot of times what we're going through and what we've been through, when God pulls us through, we become the greatest witnesses of how to get through.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
And you become the witness, not just that God got you out, but if you pay attention to how he got you out, which is why I always ask the question, how was your week and what did you see God do? Because in your week, God is getting you out of something. He's pulling you out of some things that we still stepped into. And we begin to see, if we pay attention, and you start going, whoo, if it had not been for the grace of God, I would have made that mistake and been right back where I was 6 months, 6 years ago.
Amen.
You have divine appointments taking place simply because, now listen to the other side of that coin. If you ain't through, don't you connect to nobody.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hurt people can only reach out and hurt other people.
Come on, sir.
Yes.
Healed people don't know how to do anything else but try to heal people.
Yeah.
But if I ain't healing and I'm still hurt, everybody I touch eventually is going to get hurt by me, or I'm going to get hurt by them. because I don't have the wisdom that God wanted to give me yet in order to pull other people through their fires. Does that make sense? So please write that down. Divine appointments. Divine appointments. Thank you for starting us off like that, Latif. That was beautifully done and beautifully orchestrated by the Father. God, we so thank you and bless you. I'll start off with prayer. Father, we do thank you and magnify you for the people who came today to hear a word from you. They didn't come to listen to the pastor. They didn't come to just listen to each other. They came because every time we show up on a Bible study or in a church service, we're praying that that's going to be the day that we hear the word from the Lord that is going to change our lives forever. Yes. So we need you to show up. We need you to show out, and we need you to show through and shine into our hearts, because if you don't do it, we certainly can't fix each other, because we were having troubles in our life fixing ourselves. So we certainly don't know how to fix each other. But for the grace of God and the goodness of God, we are being fixed by the blood. So we thank you for it tonight. The blood covered this room. The blood covered the people that came. The blood covered our families. And the blood covered us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Amen.
Sister Deborah, thank you for being here. Sister Tara, thank you for being here. Who else do we have? There's one person's phone number here that I'm not familiar with. Just want to make sure we acknowledge you. We got Sister Jacoby. Gloria.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
All right. So we got Sister Gloria.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, as you know, I had just lost my granddaughter. That wasn't, you know, it's just you know, it's a battle right now, but I'm on how do you say that? I'm on the path to heal for that. And one awesome thing helped me after I got out of church. Oh, it was so amazing, because when I got out of church, there was one more sign slapped in my face, and I was able to walk away proudly from something that I was doing that was very wrong, that I was kind of trapped in. And I got out of that, and I feel great. I feel like Gloria again. It felt so good to get out of it. It just feels so good to be out of it.
Hallelujah. And we
thank
won't go
you.
Down the road of asking
Amen.
You. Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
We,
thank you.
We won't ask what it was. That's not our business. It's your business and God's business.
Yes.
But God is in the business of deliverance.
Yes.
And if we don't know that, You probably, and I don't mean to sound mean or anything, but I do mean to be honest. If you don't know God is in the deliverance business, ain't no sense of going to church or coming to Bible study.
Amen.
That's what he uses these tools to do, and the people to do around you, is to help deliverance take
That's
place.
Scrambling
so
up, I can't hear.
Beyond, I'm sorry, say that again.
Hello?
Hello? Was that you, Gloria? What did you say?
Hello?
Gloria?
She said,
is
hello?
That you?
Scrambling up, so I'm not sure if that's just her phone, because I don't hear scrambling. Does anybody else hear scrambling?
I hear some scrambling. I do hear somebody's television, I think.
I got you guys. Oh, I hear it.
Okay, I think it might have been... Latif, all you have to do is mute your phone until it's time to talk.
I just did.
Yep, thank you. All right, so we're going to the book of Galatians, and we're going to read chapter 1 of the book of Galatians. If you have a Bible, please get it. And I'm going to remind us, for those of us that are fairly new on Bible study,
hello.
The Bible says, yep, can you hear us?
Hello.
Yes, can
you hear us?
I don't think that person can hear us.
rebuke that.
And I don't know
Gloria.
Who it is.
That's Gloria. I think she said she had trouble with her phone.
Okay. Yep. If she dials out and then dials back in, it should clear it up. So we're going to the book of Galatians. Again, the key point is the Bible says that the word of the Lord cannot return unto him void. That
Amen.
To me means that I have to be more than a hearer of the Bible. I have to be a reader. Once I get some insight from being a reader, I have to become a doer.
Yes.
That's the process. I can start as a hearer. I can be a person that sits in church and just listen to the message and be inspired, be fired up. Because God knows I'm a baby. He really does. He knows the difference between a baby and an adult in him. And so I can do it. In fact, one of the things you'll notice when you're a baby, you can just pop open the Bible. It'll fall right onto what you need to see that day.
Yep.
Can I?
Ooh, wow. Amen. Go ahead.
Okay. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
So you know I'm a B girl, so is that okay, Dad?
I'm sorry, say it again.
I said I'm a NIV girl, so.
Oh, you want to read, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I think what I sure can. What I'm going to do, what I think we're going to do, because it's not a long chapter. I'm going to read. I'm going to ask you all to listen.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask you to listen because we're going to discuss this. There's a lot of good subject matter in this, but you have to really listen. So your Bible says listen twice as much as you speak. I want you to listen. It's just saying put more effort into listening than we do talking sometimes, right? So listen to what this says. Here we go. Verse 1. And it starts off with a greeting. Chapter 1, Book of Galatians.
There's a lot of...
there's still some static from somewhere, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Can everyone just mute?
Okay.
Awesome. Just mute for a moment. Oh, praise the Lord. It's getting... It's perfect
praise
in here.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, so here it is. I'm going to kind of give us the foundation of the book we're reading, the Epistle of Paul, the Apostle. It's a letter, not a book. Mm-hmm. So when you're reading in the New Testament, everything past Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are letters. The majority of them are letters that Paul was writing, or Peter was writing, or James was writing, to tell the churches what they had learned, some of their adventures. But they were mostly testifying about what God had gotten them out of. Or they were testifying what God brought them into. What God brought them into. And how God was delivering them, even sometimes on the journey. And so in this particular letter, Paul is writing to the church of Galatia, all the Galatians. And he's getting ready to tell them about the power of God in his life. He's getting ready to tell them something that most preachers don't even know. Most preachers haven't caught. Most churches don't talk about. Because if you talk about it, it sort of gives less credibility to the pastor than they would like to have. Did y'all hear that? Amen. Less credibility to the pastor. Paul is getting ready to give some credibility to Jesus and his ability to teach you.
Amen.
He starts off by saying, "Hi, I'm Paul. I'm an apostle." Listen real close and then close parenthesis, open parenthesis. He says, "I'm an apostle, but not of men. Neither was I made one by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God, the Father, who raised him up from the dead." Close parenthesis. Verse 2, "And all of the brethren which are with me unto the churches," we're writing to you unto the church of Galatia. First, we want to say grace be to you. "And peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us, deliverance. He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. And I want you to just kind of make a side note to yourself that Paul just said, it is God's desire to deliver us from what's happening in the world because it's part of his will. It's not a prize. Oh, glory. It's not a prize you win for being such a great person. It is a gift he gives so that we become great people.
Apostle, your phone breaking. Your phone sounded like a robot.
Oh, is it really? Can you hear me now?
No.
Okay, I'm getting ready to change. I think it's my Bluetooth. Give me 1 second, everyone.
Okay.
Let me do this differently.
Can everyone hear me?
I can.
Yes. Yes.
Is yes. That better.
Better.
Is that better?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. So here we go. Let me start over again. Verse 1. Paul, who is an apostle, open parenthesis, not an apostle of men, neither am I an apostle by men, about Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And all the brothers that are with me right now, we're writing unto the churches of Galatia. Then he goes on in verse 3 to say, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, of course, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
And then he goes on to say, and I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into and through the grace of Christ, and you've fallen up under another gospel. It's not really another gospel, because there'd be some folks that trouble you. You're talking about church hurt, yeah. And they even would pervert the gospel of Christ, make it come off different. But though we or an angel from heaven come and preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let that person be accursed. A curse means separated. It's not like saying put a curse on them. It's a curse means separated from God. Let him be pulled away from God. Verse 9.
Devil was really we rebuke you in the name of Jesus, devil, because you're doing it again, Pastor. Apostle, mm-hmm.
I can't hear again.
Oh, really?
That devil really busy on this live tonight.
Like a baby, or actually a baby.
A baby is crying in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whoever has a baby, please mute it. Got it? Everybody, can you hear me now?
Yes, and it's very clear.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so let me go back to the first part, and then we're going to discuss a little bit of this. I want you to get it, because it's a lot in it, but it's not a long chapter. So let's start with this part. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And from all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. What could we learn from that, just those three verses?
If I could say something, the first thing that stands out to me is, and it's in the first verse, is basically saying that, hey, I'm an apostle, but I wasn't called by man, you know, so it's not like, you know, a title that was given to me by man, but I was appointed by Yah, and he made it very clear right in the first verse. That's what stands out to me.
Mm-hmm. Everybody received that same thing?
Yes,
in the first verse, yeah.
Yeah, and that's very important. And I'm going to tell you why it's important and we'll go on. So the first reason that it's important is because there are many churches and many denominations and many religions that don't believe that there were any other apostles other than the 12 that were with Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And if you gave them the title apostle, they would go, how is that possible when the only apostles were the 12? So I need you to pay close attention to what Paul said took place. That's what I'm saying. Paul is getting ready to tell us not about the teachings of men, but about how God teaches you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hallelujah.
How God can teach you. So even if you miss church, you better not miss God.
Woo!
Yeah.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Even if you don't get church, you better learn to get God. Because either, believe it or not, throughout the majority of our life, God has been teaching you something.
Yes.
There's a way of God teaching. Now, God didn't put us in the mistake, and I want to get rid of that because I know a lot of people say, oh, so God, let me go through this to do to know. God didn't let you go through nothing. Your bad decisions let you go through something.
Exactly.
Your lack of knowledge let you go through something.
Mm-hmm.
Your environment may have let you go through something.
Mm-hmm.
Your parents might have helped you to go through something. Your school that didn't teach you anything when you were sitting there in the classroom helped you to go through something. But God was not doing those things. So your Bible says, when we walk in the Spirit, we know all things work to the good, to them that love the Lord and to them that are called. So let me put those two thoughts together, please. What I'm saying to you is when you were called, God has started working on all the bad in your life in order to turn it into something good in your life. And so if you don't know how to listen to God, you won't ever see how to pull the bad things and toss out the pain and bring out the experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Apostle, can I say something?
Yes, ma'am.
That just makes me think about Brother Latif's testimony, and that's the very reason why he allow us to grow through something to get the lesson, so we get, because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. Because he's been through it, he was able to minister to the brother that he met to help to give him the tools because he have them, so he can overcome the same thing.
Amen.
Hallelujah! Did everybody hear that?
Yeah.
Praise God. Yes. So going back to verse 1, I want you to write this down. If you have something right with, please write it down. Men cannot make apostles.
Cannot make apostles.
Even though men do make them.
Mm-hmm. They'll be the ones they with the jackets and push you over and slap your head with oil and push you to the ground.
So how do I know the difference? Because an apostle has miracle signs and wonders following, because that's one of the, you know how when a rocket takes off, it's on its way somewhere, but you can see the back end of the rocket and see the fume or the jet fuel or the smoke from the plane behind it. So God always puts something behind every calling. Ooh, glory. There's always something there that you're going to see to know that the calling is from God and not from men.
Ooh, glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
Anybody receiving this?
Yeah.
And so don't pay attention to a title. Pay attention to the trailer. If you don't see a trailer falling behind it, if you don't see some changes taking place behind it, the title ain't gonna do you much good.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, sir. So
write that down. And then the next thing write down is that there are other apostles. And Paul is going to discuss that too.
But they were made by, and
they were called specifically by God. The word apostle means to be sent by God for a mission. Sent for a mission. But God did it. And the other part about being an apostle is that every apostle is not going to be the same, because the gifting of the apostle is going to be based upon the mission God sent them on. One may mm-hmm. preach you right out your socks.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The other one might talk mm-hmm. about how we need to take territory from the devil.
Mm-hmm.
The other one may have a gift of evangelizing and show you how we're going to take over Madison. Okay. Pay attention to the trail, not the jet. And that's mm-hmm. when you'll see what you need to see. Everybody got that?
Yes.
All right. So he says, so he goes on to say, all right, so I'm an apostle. I was made that by Jesus Christ. And so we're going to find out how he was made that.
Mm.
What makes that? How did he get to be this apostle? And how did he even know he was an apostle? Watch this. Mm-hmm. Verse 2, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches, grace be unto you, peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. So know that you're in Christ. If you're in Christ, you're going to be delivered. It may not take place on Monday. May not take place on Tuesday. But what he just said is it's going to take place, but you have to be in your place.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get it to take place by constantly running from the church, running from the circumstance, not listening to God, not reading the Bible, not drawing nigh unto the Lord while he tries to draw nigh unto you. It doesn't mm-hmm. take place through osmosis. It doesn't mm-hmm. take place as a spectator. It takes place as a participator.
Amen. Amen to that.
Yes. Amen.
You don't get to sit on the bench and score a touchdown at the same time.
No.
Come on, glory.
Praise the Lord. Verse 5, he said, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Verse 6, he said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Let me stop there. What's he talking about? What do you think he's saying?
A lot of people, it basically was going on today where people are twisting the gospel, adding and subtracting to the word, things like that. That's what I'm getting from it.
Okay, very good.
They're letting outside sources kind of, not kind of, but distort the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And,
or dissuading. Go ahead.
Apostle Paul defending the word of God.
I'm sorry, say that part again.
So in that scripture, Apostle Paul is defending the, the word of God, and then the basis of, you know, the calling just strictly came from God and not.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Tell me what book you can't play.
Sounds like some music in the background.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you tell me what book we're in, please?
Dewan, is that your phone doing that?
Yeah, it is.
I can mute you from here. All right, no worries. I can mute you from here. We praise God that we've got so many people. We've got distractions. Praise the Lord. That's a beautiful thing.
Amen.
We can fix it, though. Okay, so yeah. Sister Angela said, what did you say again, Sister Angela? Sister Angie?
Oh, that Apostle Paul is defending the word of God. And it's based on Jesus dying at the cross for our sins and then being raised. So that's the foundation. And also having a calling on his life that did not come from humans. It did not come from people. It just strictly from God.
Okay. So the calling had to come from God. Yeah. He was saying to people, don't get distracted. It's about God and Jesus Christ being raised from the dead. And he was also, I think, implying that there's no way to God except through Jesus. Because if you pay attention to the world around you, you'll find probably 8 out of 10 people you talk to will say, I believe in God. But their lifestyle, their lives, and their fruit doesn't prove it.
Amen.
And that is because a person can believe in God and not acknowledge I have to come through Christ.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
That's dangerous.
Yes, it is.
And so what you end up having is, and this is the other thing this is talking about too, just as a thought, it's also talking about church hopping. Mm-hmm. This church don't fit over here because they too busy trying to hold this unmitigated gospel thing happening. And so I'm going to go over here to this church because they don't even talk about that stuff. And so you get dissuaded, right? I want to make sure everybody gets this. You know how the Bible calls us sheep?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
You know what's unique about a sheep? Let me tell you what you need. A sheep has what's called ocular vision, right? And with ocular vision, you can see all around you. You can see straight up and straight down at the same time. You don't have to move your eye around to go look down to see your feet. You don't have to hold your head up to go see the sun. You see all of that at the same time. Now, the problem, though, is because of that excess vision of seeing everything, a sheep can only see 6 feet in front of it, up to 8 feet sometimes, 6 to 8 feet. And the reason that the Lord used the analogy about the 100 sheep and the one that got lost is because he knows that his sheep are short-sighted. Praise the Lord. He knows that, you know, we see some grass over here that looks pretty good, and we go over there and go to grazing. We're not realizing I done went 6 feet, and I'm a little lost already. And then I go see somebody else and see if the grass is green over there. And then I go over there and start grazing. I got 12 feet on me and don't even know that I – because the funny part is when the sheep turns around after it's 6 feet away, it can't see the sheep that it left. Are we listening? Can't see the sheep that it left. I'm just lost now. Thank God we got a God that says he's a good shepherd and he searches for his sheep. Because sometimes that 6 feet issue is about 5 feet seven. He's real muscular.
Go ahead.
Got a brand new car. Walks real good. Knew just what to say. Brought me flowers even. There I go, 6 feet. Sometimes it's somebody from another church going, "Whoa, you should hear our praise team. Oh my God. When they sing, I'm telling you, the roof falls in, and boy, if you got any problems, they go away. 6 feet. Sometimes, praise the Lord. Sometimes it's the job I need being replaced or being misconstrued as the job I can get. 6 feet.
Come on.
I took what I can get. I settled for something. And now I'm in there and I'm all frustrated and mad and angry, hateful, spiteful because I went 6 feet. I didn't trust God.
Okay.
I didn't realize that if I'd have just hung on, if I'd have just did what he told me, if I'd have just believed in the grace of Christ and I know this gospel, I know the job is coming. I don't have to make a decision to take this job as an interim. And if I take it as an interim, I ain't 6 feet away. I'm just sitting here waiting for the thing that God is going to bring me. But when I take the job and it becomes a lifestyle for me, I'm now 6 feet away, and now I'm all caught up because I don't want to go to church. I ain't even got no money to put in a basket because I'm barely paying the bills 6 feet.
Come on.
Sometimes 6 feet is you went into the church and you didn't go in there to hear the gospel. You went in there to go and be a sheep and see everything in the church. Because your eyes just catch everything, and you're so busy trying to judge that person on the left and that person on the right, and the person in the middle, and the person behind the pulpit, and the person behind the guitar, and the person behind the bass and the drums, and next thing you know, 6 feet.
Amen.
Amen. I sat next to somebody, I didn't even like the way they smell, 6 feet.
Lost in the sauce.
And so we have to know we have ocular vision and we have to stay focused on the mission that God gave us and the good news of the gospel.
Amen.
I shouldn't touch what I shouldn't touch. Yes. I ain't got no business trying to get involved with nobody because my body ain't been fixed.
Yes.
I have no. I need to come in and get me right. Yep. That's why the Bible says, how dare you run around thinking you can remove the splinter from your brother's eye while you got this great big mug in your eye.
Mm-hmm.
First, remove the moat from your eye. Then you can go and start pulling splinters. And that goes back to what Lati was talking about. When the moat came out, the boat came in. Now I can float over here and help somebody else come in. But until the moat comes out.
Come on.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So Paul is talking about that in verse 6. He's saying, hey, yeah, but y'all got distracted. You went 6 feet somehow. And now you're mad at the people because they pulled you 6 feet away because you didn't stick to the gospel. Mm. Now you're dealing with the grace of Christ with another gospel. You're making up some stuff. Verse 7, which is not another gospel, really, because there ain't but one God.
Mm.
But there be some people that trouble you and would even pervert the gospel of Christ so that it fits. So that it fits.
Them. Amen.
Ain't nothing wrong with me having four wives. They used to do it all through the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anybody know about the religion where the pastor can have four wives and he can go and choose somebody's daughter at the age of 13 and 14 and say, I want her to be my wife?
Wow.
And the church goes along with that?
Wow.
Mm-mm. Wow.
Uh-huh. I think it's Mormonism.
They out there.
Wow.
Mormon?
Out there for real.
Here's what happens when you know God and you don't know Jesus.
Can I add to that too?
Sure you can.
Another interesting thing about Mormonism is the guy who wrote it claimed to have been visited by the angel to write the Bible for the Mormons.
Mm-hmm. He actually claimed that an angel led him to the Talmud, but to the Egyptian tablets.
Can I add that one more time too?
Mm-hmm.
You got to be real careful because there are two types of angels. You're dealing with fallen or you're dealing with an actual angel sent by God. And that sounds like a fallen angel. Angel sent by God is not going to tell you to change the gospel. So, yeah.
Nope, they would know better, right? So let's keep going. So everybody get that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So people do pervert the gospel. Here's how you know they can pervert it. You go in one church, a woman can't wear pants.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
No, they'll go all the way back to the Old Testament on you. A woman should not wear anything that pertaineth to a man.
To a man, yes.
But they don't read that scripture that's in context. Because if you thought in context and you did a historical look, you would realize that was during the time when all the men wore skirts.
Mm.
You ain't listening.
Come on, Pastor.
Everybody had a toga.
Yeah.
So you can twist that and put it into a new context. Let me go back to Malachi 3, perverting the gospel. Malachi 3, bring your tithes and your offerings. Shall a man rob God? Well, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and your offerings. Now bring your tithes and your offerings and see, won't God open up a window and pour you out blessings you won't have room enough to receive?
Amen.
Well, that sounds good. But if I'm giving you 10% of my $500 a month check or my $500 a week check, and I got an apartment that cost me $2,000 or $1,800 a month, I can't keep the lights on.
Amen.
I can't buy food.
Come on.
It's going up. Anybody listening?
Yeah.
That becomes important that we know what's sent by God and what's perverting God. Glory to God.
Yes.
I can't keep my and then when I come and say that I've been tithing and I came and asked for a little help, Y'all said I didn't give enough. Because I didn't follow the law. And tithing, listen to me good. Write this down. Tithing, please write it down so you don't get fooled.
Okay.
Tithing is a law.
It's a law.
Everybody got it?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
How do you know it's a law? Because with every contract, when you bought your car, praise the Lord if you got one. If you don't, you'll have one soon. Glory to God. Just stay around and watch and see. Anyway, so when you go buy a car, you sign a contract. On the contract, it says we want $328 every month for 36 months.
Amen. Yes.
Or for 60 months.
All right.
That's a contract, right?
Yes.
Right.
All right. So when they were doing in the Old Testament, there was a contract with the people of God that they had to pay a tithe, the 10% of everything that comes through their hands and all the increase.
Uh-huh.
Every 3 years, they had to go tithe off the land. Every other year, they had to go tithe and bring money. If they couldn't bring cattle because they had to travel far, you turned the cattle in, you got the money, you took the money, you brought it to the Levitical priesthood, and that was because the priesthood was not allowed to work. They could only serve God. Everybody got it?
Yes. The Levites, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now let me take you forward to your new covenant. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Makes the statement to us, I came and fulfilled the laws. Which means, which is another way of saying, I just voided the contract.
So Jesus voided the contract?
He voided out the contract by fulfilling it. Until Jesus was crucified, he had to follow the same laws as every other Jew. He was doing tithing.
Okay.
Okay.
He had to be at the synagogue on Sunday, even though he couldn't stand it, because he was there trying to tell him, y'all got this wrong. You're wrong. You're not getting it. You understanding it from a bad perspective. Let me tell you, today has this scripture come alive in your very eyes. Today have I come to preach the gospel. I'm here now. So that's over. The new covenant has began. And so we don't have to follow those laws. So what is the law of even offering now? It's in the book of Acts. And he says this, let every man give according to what's purposed in his heart. So can I give 10%? Yeah, but I better want to give it.
Amen.
Can I give 20%? Yes, but I have to want to give it. The Spirit should be functioning me.
Right.
Oh, you need to do this for this church. You need to do this. This show, look at what's going on here. Oh, God is so good.
Hallelujah.
The music hit me. The Spirit hit me. I went in my pockets. I wrote a check because I'm so proud of what God is doing in this house.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes.
Anybody listening?
Amen.
And so, but you're not under contract. You can't pay your bill. Go pay your bill.
Yes.
You need food on the table. Go put food on the table.
Yes.
Maybe next month I can come in and put $200 or $300 into the offering plate and let God know how pleased I am with the life I'm living. So Jesus fulfilled the law according to the Bible. And that's part of what Paul is talking to them about. Hey, look, who done tricked you back into this old gospel? Who's got you running back up under law and becoming legalist? Watch what he says next. Everybody ready?
Yes.
Is this helping anybody?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So he goes on in verse 8, he says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach anything other than the truth, the gospel unto you, then that which we have already preached to let you know that's what got you saved, let that person be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you, let him be accursed. Verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I'm yet pleased, man, I cannot be a servant of Christ.
Mm. Amen.
Oh, boy, that's a shake. That's a shake up and a wake up call.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
If you got a people pleasers mentality,
yes,
you ain't serving God. You're serving something, but I don't know what it is. It ain't steak.
Yes, sir.
If I'm people pleasing,
I can admit that I was people pleasing. I seen that in myself.
Mm. Mm. Yep. So now we know better. Got it? All right. So verse 11. Hey, Sister Donna, we are in Galatians, the first chapter. God bless you. Thank you for being here.
Good evening, Pastor. I'm listening. I'm just coming in the door. So if I'm not saying anything, forgive me for coming on so late. I just got a lot going on, but praise God anyway.
Yes, ma'am, and we rebuke whatever it is the enemy is trying to do, whatever contract he tried to write, whatever circumstance he tried to unwrite, whatever thing he tried to remove or bring in. We come against it as your body and as your brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. We just come against that and say, Father, cancel that mess fast and quickly in the name of Jesus.
So
verse 11. Listen to what Paul says. This is going to get really good. I want you all to catch this. That's why I want you to listen. I really want you to listen. Follow where we've been. I know I added some thoughts and things like that, but just follow what he's saying. Verse 11, watch this. He said, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me didn't even come from a man. Oh, God. I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not coming from a man.
Thank you, Jesus.
We were talking about the sheep and the 6 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Sheep and the six feet. One of the biggest 6 feet issues with the sheep is they go into church and hear men talk about God and don't discern whether God is talking through a man.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it is right there.
You can go in any church. Anybody with a third grade degree can talk about God.
Mm-hmm.
But if you listen closely, you'll be able to say, God is talking through the person because it's hitting me. It sometimes cuts me, but it heals me quickly. It gives me this power. I can actually go and say to something that I've been in bondage to, I'll see you later. Because something happened. Something always happens when God speaks through somebody rather than folks that stand in a position and speak for God.
Amen to that one.
Amen.
We were just talking about this while I was at the shop getting my hair done. This is it. Mm. So that's confirmation.
Yeah, there's a difference. And believe it or not, you can tell the difference.
Yes.
If you discern, that's why the Bible says, know them that labor amongst you. Know the people that's working around you, that's working with you. Know them. Pay attention to that. Because there's a lot of, I mean, I can tell you to read the Bible. You talked about God.
Yeah.
But can you go and grab the exegesis from it and then pull out, this is what he was talking about. And this is how this relates to our daily life. And this is what it's capable of doing. Here's the principle behind it. Here's how I use this. Here's how I take this down to that circumstance I was in, and I now got the courage to stand up against the enemy that I'd never had before. Somebody God was talking through. They weren't talking about him. Somebody was talking to me. My spirit changed. Glory to God.
Amen. Glory to God.
My deliverance came. Glory anyway.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
He says, watch this, verse 12. He says, for I neither received this from men. Nobody taught me how to preach or teach or talk about God or the things that I've learned from the Bible. Neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Remember I said earlier, I'm going to talk about how, yes, it's important to be in church. It's important to listen to the preacher, especially if the preacher has God's preaching through him. but it's more important to listen to the Holy Spirit, because that is Jesus Christ trying to give us revelation. And if you take revelation, you'll look at a situation and know how to conquer it, and you'll know how to walk in that thing, because you ain't walking in it as a man. You're walking in it as a godly person that God is getting ready to use to transfer something off somebody, because you're in the presence. Now, this is going to be scary for you a little bit.
Hallelujah.
But I want you to know that if it's so be that Christ is in you, if it is, then wherever you go is now holy ground. Just like he told Moses, take off your shoes, brother. Come on over here by this bush. But you need to get your shoes off, because now you're walking on holy ground.
Holy ground.
Yeah.
Whenever you have an encounter with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost is now abiding in you, so that you can go and declare a circumstance holy ground. I wish you heard me. You can now look at the devil, the demon, the thing that keeps coming in between you and your joy and your peace and your growth and your destiny, and you on holy ground. See, it's when we compromise the holy ground. It's when we let folks put their shoes on in a place they need to keep them off at. That's the problem.
Yes, sir.
It's when we sit back and start people pleasing. And I better not say that to them, because they just gonna be, they ain't gonna take it. They ain't gonna hear it well. You gonna hear it whether you hear it well or not. It's on you. Those are your ears, not mine.
Mm.
Oh boy. I spoke it well. It's on you to hear it well. You got to know that I said it because I love you.
Amen.
I didn't say it because I was judging. I said, do anybody get what I'm saying? It's
yes,
yours.
Yeah. You spoke it well, but they didn't process it well.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah, because that's what hearing is. Hearing is processing.
Mm-hmm. You can't process
get that?
It if you don't hear it well. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And if you didn't hear it well, you'll feel bad.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But if you hear twice as much as you speak, which means process it at least twice before you make a decision on it.
Yeah.
Process it at least two times. Okay, that's what I think they said.
Okay.
That's what I think they meant. But did they really mean it? Or is that just I'm in a bad place right now, and what I'm feeling, this just added on to it, because I was already feeling bad about myself a little bit anyway? Let me process this problem before I react, respond, reply, and then get the wrong reward.
Come on. Yes.
React, respond, reply. Because once you do those three things, a reward is coming. It don't have to be good.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So he says, verse 12, I didn't receive this of a man, neither by was I taught it, by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to prove it. This is beautiful stuff. Verse 13, because you heard of my conversation, the way I used to talk in the past, in the Jews' religion, when I was in that bondage and that thing under the law. This is what he's talking about. How that beyond measure, I myself was persecuting the people that were following Christ, the church of God. I even laid waste to it. I sent some folks to the Colosseums to be killed in the arenas. I took some folks to jail that somebody ended up finding guilty and put on a cross on the road. Boy, what an admission to have to make. What a thing to have to say. I done messed up the whole family because I keep sleeping with everybody. What an admission to have to make.
Jesus.
I never learned how to be a father, so I'm messing up the whole fatherhood thing. What an admission to have to, oh God.
Help us, Lord.
I didn't learn how to manage money. And I'm always broke. And the kids are suffering. What an admission to have to make. And so he says it. He says, look, I persecuted. I was killing you all. I was causing a lot of y'all's problems. And then I get saved and Christ meets me on a road on Damascus, fills me with revelation over a period of 3 days, takes my sight away so I can't be distracted. You know, some of us, we need to close our eyes for about 3 days. We'll probably get it all. Because everything around you is there to distract you from the truth of who you really are in Christ. All of the mishaps, all of the bad moments, all of the people that argue with you, fuss with you, jealous of you, envious of you, don't like what you do, don't like what you wear, don't like how you comb your hair, don't like that you ain't got no hair, don't like. All that is the stuff that you see to distract you from the thing that you are.
Amen.
Anybody listening?
Amen to that one.
Amen.
He says, and I profited, verse 14, and I even profited in the Jews' religion. I was making money, many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous. They had this God thing down to a science. They were the spiritual police. They were spiritual. Boy, you do one thing outside of the law and we got you arrested, you could be my own culture. And I went and got you arrested, got you put in jail, let the oppressor come in and take you and then take you someplace and try you. Then you got tried, you got accused, you got hung. And he was saying, I was involved with all that. And they were paying me to do it. That's like having some, that's like some of the, I hate to say it, but that's like some of them black police officers out there.
Yes.
Getting paid to go and take your own people, lock them up, ruin their life, ruin their future, ruin everything, all because you saw him with a little marijuana stick and you know that he don't own the marijuana farm. You know he doesn't own the drug house. You know he doesn't own those things, but you'll go get him. But the folks that's making the real money off of it and sitting back on their boats, you ain't touched yet. Anybody listening?
Yes.
So he says, verse 14, and profited in this thing. I made money off of it, being more exceedingly zealous to make sure that we were stopping these believers from doing what they're doing. But watch what he says next. He said, but when it pleased God, when God was ready, you ought to say to yourself, when God is ready.
When God is ready.
When God is ready.
When he's ready, there's no demon, no devil, no discomfort, no circumstance, no rent money, no new car, old car. No, somebody applauding you or somebody calling your names in hell that's going to stop what God is going to do.
Amen.
There is nobody that's going to come along and applaud me that's going to do more for me than what God is going to do when God is ready.
When he is ready. Amen. Amen.
So when I know that, and I hope we have some people that know it tonight, when I know that, that's when I can stop being a people pleaser.
Come on, Pastor.
This ain't got nothing to do with you having some favor for me. God already has my favor. It's already locked up in heaven, ready to be released when he's ready. All I need to do is keep going and doing what God told me. Learn to be obedient. Learn to seek out the true gospel. Learn to listen to Jesus Christ, because he's speaking. He's talking all the time. He ain't just talking in church on Sunday. He talks Monday in the morning. He talks Tuesday morning, Tuesday morning. He's the one that said, you got something to do today. The alarm clock didn't even go up. I beat the alarm clock up.
Amen.
Come on.
Yes.
Am I talking to anybody?
Amen.
I knew to stop at the store and pick up bread, even though my wife or my family didn't even call me to tell me we needed bread. I came home with it. He was talking.
Amen.
I came home and decided to make a cake because I just felt something in my spirit. I'm going to go home and make a cake today. And then I found out that my son was bringing home somebody and it was their birthday. He was talking.
Come on.
Amen. Yep. Amen.
Come on. Amen.
I just didn't connect the talk with the action that took place. That's why you have to know daily as you walk, what is God doing in my life today? Because if you don't look for him, you go miss him. And if you miss him, Satan's going to replace him. Listen to me good. If you don't look for him, you'll miss him. If you miss him, Satan will replace him. And how? What I mean by that is if you don't look for him, you won't see what he's doing. What will happen is Satan will come up and replace it with a circumstance, and all you'll be looking at is what went wrong for the day, and you'll never catch what went right in the day, and you'll never be able to give God some glory today, and you'll never have a worship in you, and you'll never have a praise in your spirit, because you are the devil.
Ooh,
is doing,
amen.
And you're missing what God is doing. Don't miss your God.
Don't miss your God. Don't miss him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
True. Amen.
Because when it pleased God, he showed up. Verse 15, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, he even said his birth was at God's pleasure. And I don't know how many of you are thankful that you were born.
I am. Thank you.
We got some thank folks still mad at their mama and their daddy. If you knew it was God's grace that brought you here, you ain't got the time to be mad at your mama and your daddy. If you knew it was God's grace that brought you here, you ain't got the time to be displeased with nobody no more, because you now know this was by grace that I came here. And it's because of that grace I'm going to make the most out of the race. I'm going to run the race and go as far as I can. To see what the end is going to be. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He said he did this, verse 16, so that he could reveal his son in me. Ooh, glory. Thank you.
Ooh, glory.
Hallelujah.
And I might preach him among the heathen immediately. Now watch what he says next. This is the big, and then we're going to talk. All right, this is the big one.
I'm hearing you.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. It's just there's too much going on in the background. I just want to hear what you say. Can you, like, just back up just a little bit on what you were saying?
Yeah, when it said, verse 15, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace.
Yeah.
That part?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm saying that there is no demon, no devil. You know how the church says what God has for you is for you?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're talking about. Because when it pleases God, the new job came. When it pleased God. When it pleases God, there is nothing that is meant for you to have that the enemy is going to be able to stop you from getting. The only person, can I speak really clearly for a moment and just transparently to everybody? Is that okay?
Yes. Yes.
The only thing that is stopping our destiny is us. It ain't the devil.
Amen.
And the part of us that sometimes is interfering with our destiny is knowledge. Mm-hmm. Because the word knowledge comes from the root word to know. I wish T-Von was here. He loves wordology. To know.
Yeah.
And the only thing that keeps me from getting what I should get is that I don't know how to get it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
It ain't that it's not there, because if it weren't there, I wouldn't have a desire for it.
Amen.
I don't know if that was good to you, but it's good to me.
It ain't that I don't
see a house. If I can see a house, I can have a desire for a house.
Amen.
if I can see a happy family, I can have a desire to have a happy family. So the only thing separating me from what it is I know is there is what I don't know about how to get there.
Amen.
Did you get it now?
Us needing a blueprint to get there.
And the blueprint to get there, which goes all the way back to what Paul said when he talked about who perverted you from the gospel. Because the gospel is a blueprint to anything that you desire?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do I know that? Because God said, I'll even give you the desires of your heart, which means my desires are okay as long as they're holy, as long as they're righteous. I don't want a house with you know, I don't want a 9-bedroom house with you know, 7,000 square feet, and I ain't bringing nobody in to talk to them about God.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, sir.
But let me flip let me turn the channel real quick, though. But if I want to bring 500 people to my house and I want to give them the gospel, I can now legitimately ask God for a house, the 7,000 square feet.
Because
they can't get in this little one. They can't get in I can barely even get the pots out in the kitchen. They can't come in here. But if I have enough wisdom to know, but if I just start with 3 people, in the kitchen that I got, or the living room that I have.
That's hallelujah.
Now I can begin to tell God, oh, I'm getting this thing, God. God, you said, did you see? God, look at what you're doing in those people's lives. Look, I need a bigger house.
Yeah. So what you're saying is that God will give us our desires, because a lot of times, a lot of pastors preach, God will give you the desires of your heart. And a lot of people are like, ooh, yeah, you know, and all that. But what it's basically saying, like you're teaching, is that he will give you the desires of your heart when your desires match up with his will or it's holy.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
Amen.
If your desires line up with the will of God, he is more than wanting to give it to you.
Yes. Amen.
Okay. Because I read in the word where it says that God, once when you become born again, God gives you new desires. He gives you the desires that he wants for you, and that he puts those in your heart. So now it's the power of agreement, and now you are as one because you want the same thing as the Lord does.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Yes, that's all I'm saying.
Can I add to that?
That's all I'm saying.
Yep. Apostle. Yes, ma'am.
I was just saying already. I'm ready. That's McCovey. I'm ready.
You ready?
For the reborn.
Yes, ma'am. Amen. Yes, ma'am. And that Kobe, it's happening now. Believe it or not.
Yeah. Amen.
God knows
Amen.
How to do what he's doing. It's happening now.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Just be still and behold the mighty hand of God. Let him do what he's doing. Don't move without him. Remember what you got to start listening for God.
Mm-hmm.
See, it doesn't make sense for me to have a desire from God and I ain't going to listen to him. Does that make sense?
Come on, yes.
Amen.
That's like ridiculous. Right?
Yeah.
That's like me wanting to check at the job, but I don't want to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's why the Bible says faith without works is dead.
It's
and the work it's talking about, 90% of the work is listening to God. Because you can't even go out and help anybody in the street if you didn't hear God. You can't go. You won't know what to say to anybody not hearing God. You'll go say what you would say, and then they just as messed up as you are now because they were listening to what you said. Oh, yeah, if it was me, I would have did this. Oh, I would have had to have a fifth of Bacardi after that one. Now you done messed them up because you still messed up. Glory to God.
Amen.
But when you listen to God, and going back to what Sister Angela said, yes, he changes the desires of your heart, because the desires of your heart that we had before salvation are all carnal. They're all about me. Sometimes you get saved, it's still about me. Till you get that it ain't about you no more. And then you start going, oh, this about us. If I ain't getting this right with my kids, I ain't right. If I don't get this right with my husband, I ain't right. If I don't get this right with my mama and my dad, I ain't right. You start running. It's about us.
It's about us. That me. Mm-mm. That's a no.
And the minute me goes the way and the we slips in, then your desires change.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
I hear.
See, yes, and I'll tell you why. Can I share why I think that is?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Because I look like a complete idiot. and I look like an absolute hypocrite while my me wants a 2025 Rolls Royce. And my kids don't even have food on the table. The Bible says the man that doesn't take care of his own house is an infidel. It's not good. And I'm going to say this even about us, because this particular pastor and his wife, we got businesses. It doesn't make sense for me to be a pastor with businesses and I don't say to you, when you'll start your business? We'll help. We'll teach. We'll show you how to take the next step. But you got to take the first step. And I can tell you, honestly, I sat in the church for 5 years with some people that own real estate and property, and I never heard them tell anybody about how to fix their credit score, what they should be doing about this. You need to buy you some property. But they had property all over the city.
Wow.
But they didn't teach anybody how to do it. They didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
Are you listening?
Yes.
So we would be retrograde leaders if we don't teach you like this. Because this is how the Lord taught us. That's how Paul learned what he learned. He went through, God gave him revelation and said, okay, Paul, now go back and start teaching this to the people. Why? Because you see how it works. Yep. Now you can tell somebody how it works. Now you're a guide to the blind and you're not the blind leading the blind no more anymore.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Anybody getting this? Is it helping anybody? All right. So he goes on. Let's go back to, he said, verse 16, Paul says this whole thing that God did, he did it because, verse 16, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him amongst the heathen. Immediately, watch this. This is the one that's going to get you. Immediately, I did it. He doesn't say I did it. You don't see it in there if you're looking. Doesn't say immediately I did it, but it implies he immediately did it, because watch what he says next. He said, I conferred not with flesh and blood. I didn't even go talk to nobody about it. Some of us are having problems because we're too busy telling everybody about what God is telling you. Go do what God told you to do so that you can quit conferring everybody. Quit looking for advice. Quit looking for people to tell you. Sometimes you got to learn on the job. It's called on the job training. And so Paul said, look, I didn't even go to anybody about this. I didn't talk to anybody with flesh and blood. This thing just hit me. Watch what he says next, verse 17. I didn't even go up to Jerusalem to them that were apostles before me. Which tells you he didn't grow up with Peter and James and John and Matthew and Bartholomew and the sons of thunder, sons of Zebedee, he Nathan, Doubting Thomas. He wasn't even around these guys. Anybody getting this? This is deep. It's beautiful. He said, I wasn't around them guys. Watch this. Neither went up to Jerusalem to them that were apostles before me, but I went straight into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. I came back later after 3 years. Then after 3 years, finally, I went to Jerusalem to find Peter. I stayed with him about 15 days. He probably said to Peter, am I doing this right, Peter? What do you think? Peter, what is that, Peter? You know, I got these things happening. I'm watching these things take place. Is that God doing this? What is Peter? I've been compelled to run this race.
Wow.
Anybody getting this?
Yes, sir.
3 years. Yep. I've been out there carrying the gospel to people. I've started churches in 15 different cities, Peter. And it just dawned on me to come back and check and see if I'm doing it right.
Wow.
Verse 19, and I'm going back again. Some of us need to get to what God told us to do. Get to what God told you to do. Quit waiting on somebody to give you an ordination, a black robe, a white robe. Follow the turnaround. Go get one of your blouses, turn it around backwards.
Come on, Pastor. Come on. Come on, Apostle. Come on.
Learn. Sometimes you got to learn OJT. Own no job training. Let me just go do because of the wisdom of God is he's never going to put you in water deeper than you can swim.
Amen.
That's why he says, I'll never put on you more than you can bear. You ain't going to never be in water deeper than you can swim. You might be in some water that's deep enough to make you pray a lot.
Yes, sir. I like that.
But you won't be, you ain't going to drown in it. And so what I mean by that is that go back to the divine appointments. A lot of times the people that you're meeting, they probably 30 steps behind you and you didn't even take the time to talk to them to find out. I know more. I know enough to help. I don't know everything. I don't need to know. I know enough to help them. And woe unto us that don't pass that first test. Because his first test is to send you somebody to see if you've got enough self-honesty and enough repentance in you to be able to say to somebody, just like Paul said, I did this wrong. I killed a lot of people thinking it was doing right.
Amen.
Oh, my God, how many of y'all did I persecute? And now I'm sent to save what I was persecuting and destroying. It's something when God sends you back to some old enemies to fix some old sores. Oh, God, I hope I'm helping somebody. It's something when God, and that's a test from God. Because if you go back then, the first thing that comes out your mouth is your justification. Rather than your sanctification. Let me try it again. If the first thing out your mouth is your justification, oh, I only did that because.
Come on now.
Rather than your sanctification, I was a sinner and I was a wretch undone. Brother, I was so broke.
Yes.
I was so messed up in my head and my heart. I'm so sorry that I took you through that. I'm so sorry that my sin was dragging you into it and that you became part of the sin. And I'm so sorry that I gave you the first batch of crack. I'm so sorry I gave you that first joint. I'm so sorry I took you into that bar where you met the man and gave you the AIDS that ended up taking your life. I'm so sorry.
Amen.
I know I'm talking to somebody. I'm so sorry.
Yes, sir. Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If your justification gets in front of your sanctification,
thank you, Lord.
You ain't learned nothing yet.
Amen.
You ain't going to help nobody.
Yes, God. Mm-hmm.
Everybody with an excuse ain't got nothing but an excuse.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Everybody with me? Am I helping anybody?
Yes. Yes.
Praise the Lord. So he says, verse 18, he said, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him for 15 days. But other than the apostles, I didn't even see them, except for James, the Lord's brother. And that's the James that wrote the book of James, the Lord's brother. And the Lord's brother, now watch what he did. Pay attention to it. He said, verse 19, but other of the apostles, I didn't see any, except the apostle James. Everybody catch that? Remember I was saying you become an apostle by way of Jesus Christ?
Yes.
And the revelation and the mission. Jesus, revelation, mission. Jesus, revelation, mission. Jesus, revelation, mission. Those three things equate an apostle. Jesus, revelation, mission.
Man.
He called James an apostle. Keep in mind, the same James, his brother, Jesus' brother, is one of the ones that when they came to visit Jesus while he was teaching and preaching to some of the disciples, his mother said, tell him we want to talk to him. He said, who is my mother, my brother, and my sister? That was James, Mary, and Josie. But them that do the will of my father. So that tells you that James and Mary and Josie wasn't saved at that time yet. Now he's an apostle.
Wow.
Well, what does that mean? It means that if you pay attention, you may not be where you think you are, but you're on your way to where God is taking you. You Amen. May not be.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. I wish I had some folks that love the Lord. Here we go.
Yes.
He said, but other than the apostles, I didn't see any of them save James. He said, now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I am not lying to you. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ already. But they had heard only that the person that was coming, he which was persecuted, had persecuted all of us. The man that was hurting us in times past is now here to preach to us about our future. Ooh, that's good. I don't know about you. I don't know about you. But he's saying, I could open this up for discussion at 6:59. But I think he's saying that even the past can be resolved.
No matter what.
Don't show respect
of
person.
Nope. Say that again, Sister Wanda.
Don't show no respect of person.
Mm-mm.
It's always room for that and or haven't yet, you know, that you taught us. Look, they may not have gotten it yet, you know, so always hold fast to the yet.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Hold on for the yet. Because it may also, not be there now, but it is coming. I love that. It's open for discussion. What did anybody get out of this? Do we now know what an apostle is?
Yes, sir.
The sent
yes.
one.
Yes. Sent. Revelation, mission, and assignment. Revelation, sent.
And mission. And also, too, Pastor, what you were saying about, Paul's past and who he is now. One of the big things that I've learned in my life is that, you know, recently, God looks at the heart. He does not look at the outward. He looks at your intent. He looks at the inside. It doesn't matter who you are. He looks at your heart.
Amen.
Mm. So you're saying God is a discerner of the thought and intent of the heart.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what you're saying.
Looks at your intent, everything that who you are. When he looks at you, me, looked at Paul, he saw in the heart.
And the scripture says, to piggyback off of what you just said, Brother Lati, it says that the Bible says, create in me a clean heart.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
And restore the righteousness.
Amen.
Create me a clean heart and restore and renew a right spirit in me. Yes, ma'am.
Renew a right spirit in me. Yes.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Anybody else? What did you get out of this tonight?
I think he lined it right back up with also what I heard too is what we've been talking about. The desires too, you know, because if your desires don't line up with the will of Yah, then I wonder why you're not getting some, because he does know our heart posture. He knows what's in your heart, what's your motives behind what you're asking for. And I just wanted to testimony about having the desire, and it's literally just happened like last month, but I've been had the desire for a few months now. And I had I talked to Apostle about it. I actually called him and shared the information, but I had a desire, and I don't even write music or anything, but just thinking about how the world is controlled by music, and you know, the enemy has robbed a lot us and our children with music. And because when you see that stuff and listen to it, you come into agreement with it. So I was just had the desire in my heart, like I would love for there to be a song to where people accept salvation through the song. Yes. And I had the desire.
Praise God.
I didn't know when or how he was going to do it, but he did it, which was probably like Friday before last. It was like 10 something at night,
And because I was obedient, because this was also on topic, will you be in a place where you can hear them? Because I could have ignored the unction and missed it, missed what I was asking or desiring for him. But because I was obedient to the unction, when he gave me the few words and the lyrics, I got up and got a pen and I started writing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's literally a song of salvation, where you saying, I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart. And I know Kevin also had another topic, because, but he said, we know that repentance is turning from your sin, you know, so part is added in there, you know, for the people just think that I can just accept salvation and then I'm saved. No, he didn't do it just so you can accept salvation. He did it so you can won't continue to sin and that you can turn from your wicked ways.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
All glory to the Most High. You know, I've been in therapy, and you know, my therapist would be like, because I be careful not to take none of his glory for nothing. And yes, she'd be like, well, I bet the difference. She'd be like, You did it. You were obedient to do it. And then I said, maybe I can take that stance to say, okay, he did it through me and thank you for that, but all glory to God, or and not a but, because a but takes away, and all glory to God, because I couldn't do it without him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I'm
gonna
come through, and this is my motto, big time. It's two things. First and foremost, to be born again. You know, a lot of people are in the body of Christ. They are not born again. And then number two, a lot of people are not asking God to change them, because he's a gentleman. And you have to go to God and you have to ask him, can you transform me? I want to see your process.
Yes.
A lot of people don't want the process. They want the oil. Like Pastor said, the oil is extremely expensive. It costs. And you may not like it. Trust me, because I've heard testimonies from people who are going through their process. And you know what I'm saying? It's an ongoing process. You'll never be done with it. But, you know, you go through a lot, you know, and a lot of people don't want that. They just want to skip the process. Yes. You can't skip the process. And then another thing I always say, we need to understand what lordship is. Say it again. He is Lord over us. He wants to be our Lord. What is a Lord? Like Brother T-Von used to always say, what is Lord? What does that mean? For somebody to be Lord over your life. So I just wanted to say that here, because a lot of people you don't hear a lot about lordship. You don't hear a lot of about the process. Now apostles and prophets and evangelists and everybody who's underneath the fivefold ministry, a lot of people don't talk about that either. A lot of people don't look at the Bible. So there's so much to be learning and stuff like that. I want to encourage my brothers and sisters every day to be always hungry for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding.
Yes, ma'am. Hallelujah. Always hungry. Yeah,
always.
My wife, Evangelist, was listening as she was sitting across the table from me. And as you were talking about the anointing costing, my wife was saying, a lot of people don't want to drink from that cup. They want it to be dropped on them. They don't want to have to drink it, because it's a costly drinking card. However, the shame of it is the way life is designed. From my perspective, you're drinking anyway. You're just drinking from sour milk rather than from the wine that's anointed. You're drinking one way or the other. Yeah. It's just which drink that matters. And what you're willing to go through, because you're going to go through, right? I think we all just have to go through. Amen. We all lose loved ones. Death is real. You got to go through. But what cup will you drink from?
I just heard in the spirit trying to put new wine in old wineskins. That's what it is. That old wine, you got to be delivered from that old wine. You have to, that stuff has to come up and out in order for the new wine not to be tainted.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to say this too. I also know, I feel in my spirit, and I also know from just being in prayer and stuff like that, God has got a lot of people who've been sitting on the bench, and he is superseding them in the spiritual realm. And these people are going to be the end time prophets and apostles and evangelists and all that other stuff. He's raising up, because it's been too much tomfoolery in the body of Christ. In the churches, too much. Everybody want to take it upon themselves. They pushing people. They prophesying just because they, you know what I'm saying? And then they're preaching and because they sound smart and all that other stuff. And it's time off for tomfool. It's done. Because we are living in the last in Jesus present.
Yes, ma'am.
Last in evil.
Right now. So nobody knows when he's coming, but we living in it now. And so souls are at stake. And every time I say this, I always see Evangelist Vandora's face every time I say souls are at stake. Mm-hmm. People are dying out here and they don't know Christ. And then I heard a gentleman say this too, 97% of your life is a distraction to keep you from going to God and getting it right and going to get others and helping others out.
Man, can I say something, add to that real quick? It's so crazy that my mom says that. I just love how the Holy Spirit works through all of us in the body, because the same guy that I told you guys about with the porn stuff, that's what I was telling him. I'm just like, social media, all that stuff, that is it's a distraction. All of it keeps you scrolling through your phone, posting, watching movies, getting up on the latest TV shows. Ooh, I want to do this, I want to do that. Like, no, like, I'm like, kill all of that. Focus on God. Because, again, too, we are, like we are coming into the ending times, I believe. I wholeheartedly believe that, because we're seeing it. And just like my mom said with Pastor, Evangelist Vandora, with, you know, like, we got to take this seriously, because these people don't know. Everybody's living their lives acting like this is it. Like, no, there's a whole unseen realm that we don't see. Mm-hmm. This is the end, because once Jesus comes, there's nothing you can do about it. It's judgment.
Amen.
Time.
Amen.
So you got to look at it like that. Ready and take it seriously.
Hallelujah.
You got to look at it like this, too. Why is Satan fighting so hard for your soul, just like God is fighting for your soul? Why is that going on? You got to be valuable. Satan and God and Satan fighting for your soul, you got to be valuable.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he comes in all disguises to try to win us or try to win our soul in many different objects or
it's Satan's device.
Or mostly materialistic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Satan's the sneaky stuff, the stuff you don't even think about. That's why we got to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to show us Satan's devices. Because it could be stuff you don't even see, you don't even know.
That's true.
Let me add one more thing to that too. So 2 Kings chapter 6, 15 through 17. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elijah prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. So that right there shows you that there's with our naked eye, we're just seeing, you know, regular stuff we see on a daily basis. But in the unseen world, there's a battle going on between good and evil. That's like when you pray. And, you know, I explained it to my wife a while ago. When you pray, like, it, you know, you can't kill these demons, but you can rebuke them. Like Jesus says, Satan, get behind me. And so when we're praying and stuff like that, you're pushing that stuff out the household. You're asking the Lord to send down the angels to protect you while you're vulnerable, while you're sleeping. That's what they're there for, because it's so much going on around us. That's why when you have that prayer, you're doing more than you think you're doing. You're doing a lot. You're putting damage on these things, and you don't realize it because you don't see it, but it is happening.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Well, we had a lively, beautiful Bible study. Thank you all.
Amen.
We had beautiful contribution. I praise God. I see how much growth so many people have. Revelation that God has given you.
So good.
Walk in it and become comfortable with it, and expand on it. Get more revelation, because we really are close to these end times. I don't want to be a foolish preacher and say, oh, it's going to happen in 6 weeks or 6 months or 6 years or 60. I don't know when, but it's not my job to know when. It's my job to be prepared if.
Be prepared. Amen.
Be prepared if. Because I can tell you, if you thought about it, and just like Lati was talking about the scripture with Elisha and the angels that, you know, they were there, but nobody could see them but him. And he told me, hey, look closer. If you look closer right now to the world around you, you'll see that you can see a little bit of both heaven and hell in it.
Amen. That is absolutely true.
You can see both sides of the spectrum, which means God is showing you that heaven is real and that hell is real.
Hell is real.
On the television, and we see what this current administration does to children and people. Every time you turn on your television and you see somebody has shot 15 people, killed their mama, their father, their kids, the babysitter, the next door neighbor, and there's no real reasoning behind it, you know there's a spiritual war going on in the backdrop. Someone was not prepared to fight.
Amen.
Yes.
And the reason that we at New Covenant, and this is what I'll close on tonight, the reason that we've read through the book of Acts, the book of Romans, the book of 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and we're now in Galatians, is because we need to be prepared. We don't know the hour. We don't know the minute. We don't know the day. But if we know the word, we're going to be prepared, because you'll see Satan coming a mile away. If you you'll see it in people, you'll go, ooh, not me.
Me.
Oh, my.
Amen.
No. Sorry, I can't go. Because you know that was, especially for people that just got, Gloria, you still here?
Yes.
Yeah, this is one of the really biggies. And I'm glad you said what you said, but I try to tell people this, especially when they get saved. Do you know almost everybody that gets saved the day of Sunday, by Monday, they typically get a phone call, a letter, an email, a Facebook mention from somebody that it was one of their biggest issues in life that's now going, oh, we all right now. Can we talk?
Okay.
And they never catch Satan, because he didn't care about me when I wanted him. It's when I walk away and say I want to get holy, all of these people started showing up in my life.
Yes,
yes.
I had some drug dealers trying to kill me. And I go get saved, and they want to call me so I can come test their product. Wait, hold on for a minute.
Hold on. Yeah. Back up.
Oh, I had some folk that I used to work out with, can't stand them no more because they're full of it. And they I used to want them to talk to me all the time, and now that I got saved, they calling me saying, "Let's go out and go do some weightlifting, and we gonna go and get high. We gonna go to the bar." Well, Satan knows what he's doing,
right? Yes.
And so I was so proud when I heard you, and so blessed, Gloria, when you said, I dealt with something that had been hard and it was really difficult for me to deal with, but I said no. Woo!
I said no in capital letters, Pastor.
Hallelujah.
I said no more. Amen. I got no I just got goosebumps right now.
Amen.
And now I how can I say it? I've worked on it. I just gotta stay strong, you know, to get not say completely get over it, but just to I need it out of my mind, you know what I mean? And then like after I get over this hump, I'm gonna work on I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm going to work on my quit smoking. And if that means go to some type of classes, well, then that's what I want to work on.
That's what it is.
Declare you are deliberate. Get the help you need. Glory to God. Glory to God. The life that you desire and you want. That's the key to this.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
Declare your deliverance, honey.
Yes. Always. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Because it's God's will that you be delivered from whatever it is, all of that mess. God's will is to deliver you. And that's what Galatians taught us tonight.
It's God's will. I've been delivered from cigarettes. I smoked heavily for 29 and a half years. Call me. You can get my number from Pastor Moreau. And anytime I got the blueprint for it. I've been there, done it. I am 10 years smoke-free. Yeah. And
Hallelujah.
You got 10 years. I got 40 years.
Is it a difference with cigarettes and marijuana, though?
Oh, yes, there is. Oh, wait a minute.
Is it a difference with cigarettes and marijuana?
I got to address
this. Oh, yes, most definitely.
I'm going to, can you all hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I want to address this one. I want to address this one the right, absolute right way. And I want us to go to the book of Matthew. And that's what we'll close on tonight. We're going to. He says there's a difference between smoking a cigarette and marijuana, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You said Matthew?
Matthew, what?
Give me one second. I want to get the exact scripture for you.
Okay.
I am typing.
1305.
Mm-hmm. Which one? Who said that?
She was trying to find the page in Matthew.
Yes.
Yeah, Matthew 15.
15? Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I want to teach it to you the right way, but I believe that it's saying. And I hope and pray that I'm spot on this.
Amen.
So what is it that God, you know, what does God turn away from us on? Right? So because I think that's a really good question that sometimes nobody asks out loud.
Okay.
Let me phrase that out loud. But we do ask because let's say, for instance, you know, we all know drugs are wrong. Right. If we were taking, if you were taking some high velocity pain pill, and you out there partying and you're doing your thing, you go, you know, God ain't happy with that. But what happens when a person gets sick and has something debilitating in their body and they need that pain pill? Now is it a sin?
Right.
Come on. That's what I need to know right there, Pastor.
We hit something, didn't we? Praise the Lord.
Yes, you did.
Now is it a sin? No. Why? No. That's why. Let's read it. Matthew 15, 11, please. When you have a say amen, because you got to see it for yourself. Don't ever sit up in anybody's church that don't ask you to open your Bible.
Amen.
Don't ever do that to yourself.
Amen.
Okay.
Everybody amen. Got it?
Yeah. Yeah.
When I say 11?
Yes.
Okay. Let's start at the C and E cause multitude said it here. Okay. It is right here. And this is coming behind a circumstance, just like what you just asked. Because this is coming okay. behind what Jesus is getting ready to say, comes behind. We should read from 4. Let me do it that way. Verse 4, 2:11. Okay? Okay. Verse 2, 2:11. Here goes. Listen to this good. I'll read it. Why do your disciples transgress, go against all the traditions of the elders? They don't even wash their hands when they eat bread. The answer is said to them, why do you also transgress against the commandments of God by your tradition? Because God commanded you, saying, honor your mother and your father, and he that curses father and mother, let him die to death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father and mother, it is a gift. In other words, I'm my mama's baby. I'm the gift. That's what he's talking about. Whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. In other words, your parents are here to take care of you. No, you're here to take care of them. And you sitting back talking about this, but let me keep going so we don't get into the weeds here. He said, you hypocrites. Verse 7, you hypocrites. Well, did Isaiah the prophet prophesy about you, saying this, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. But in vain, they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the law, the commandments of men, the lawful stuff. And he called the multitude and said unto him, hear and understand this. It is not that which goeth into the mouth that defileth, but is that which comes out of the mouth, out of the heart, which he's talking about.
There you go. That's it.
Defiles the man.
Now, bingo.
So how does that connect to what your
answer
question?
That.
It, say it again. Yep. Go
you
ahead.
Said, how does that answer my question? I think what I'm getting from this said, not a which goes into the mouth defines the man, but that which coming out of the mouth defines the man.
It should say the heart. So he's got it in several places. He means the heart. The mouth in this case means the heart. Just trust me on that. I'll show you the other scripture so you get it. Not that which comes out of the mouth defiles man, but that which comes out of the heart. Because, and he goes on the book of Luke, he says, because out of the heart is where murder comes from, lasciviousness comes from, adultery comes out your heart. This, all this stuff is coming from out your own lust. So now, use that. How do you think that matches up?
If I'm interpreting it right, it's saying that basically we judge off what's in our hearts, not what comes out of our mouth. So,
Can I give a testimony that lines up with that?
Yes, ma'am. Let her finish.
Yes, sir.
So basically, I'm guessing, from what I got out of it, is you saying it's okay?
No.
If you taking it for pain or for other issues?
Let's go to Hawanda first and let her give her testimony. Then I'll
testimony,
explain.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then so I just want to see the answer to that I heard in the Holy Spirit. So right after Sister Hawanda, can I say what I heard in the Spirit when you was reading that scripture? Because it helped me. Now, wow. Okay.
Yep. Go ahead, Sister Wanda.
What I was gonna say is, when I was addicted to weed and I was smoking, I had been through therapy already to work through like my past traumas from the childhood and stuff like that. So I could no longer use that as an excuse or a crutch to say that I was smoking. However, we as Black people are not properly medicated. You know, I have a torn rotator cuff and I'm considered disabled because of my shoulder. So that was the, you know, how the enemy would put in your ear, okay, well, I'm smoking because I'm self-medicated. After that was the next excuse. And then Holy Spirit, y'all took the pain away from my shoulder for like 2 months to see if I was going to lie. This is how you know that he tests the heart posture. You know, he want to see if you're going to lie to him as well. He know everything. So when he took the pain from my shoulders for 2 months, because he ain't take it for good. I have the pain right now, but I didn't go back to weed. Once
once the pain came back, I stopped, and he wanted to test me to see if, because of my heart posture, to see, hey, are you still going to use that as an excuse if I took the pain away? So you can't lie to him. I'm telling you to learn our thoughts. Everything about us, he really knows, so you can't trick him. You, and then you can't lie about what you're saying. If it ain't in your heart, it's man. I didn't go back. Hallelujah. I didn't go back.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right, go ahead, Angela, so I can close us out. Thank you, Wanda. Sister Angela?
Okay. Yep. So I heard two different things in that scripture. It's not what comes out of what goes into a person, but what comes out of the heart. I truly believe in my walk now that what we put into our temples is a form of worship. And so God dwells in us, and he wants us to be, to have a clean temple. So that's what I heard. And plus also I heard, too, that he wants us to be totally dependent upon him and nothing else and nobody.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Now let me give you the I think that's the right thing, because what Angela just said was the scripture that's in Romans that said, my brethren, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before God, because it's your reasonable service. Present your body as a living sacrifice before God, because this is a reasonable, it's not even a hard thing for you to do, it's a reasonable service. But let me tell you what this scripture is saying, or what I believe it says to me, and then you can make your decision. And I think what he's saying is this, because I noticed when I drank, I got false courage. I noticed when I drank, it changed my demeanor. I noticed when I smoked marijuana, I was a totally different person. I was the best musician in the world. I was hearing all kinds of notes that wasn't even being played. In other words, it was altering my heart.
Amen.
It's whatever goes into you that alters you spiritually is satanic.
Amen.
This is really good. If it's altering your spirit and changing you to now I'm a little bit more bolder, I can talk a little. The Lord had to tell me why I drank to stop me from drinking, believe it or not. He told me, because I asked, why do I drink? Why was I drinking like, because I'd been clean for a couple of months. Why was I drinking like that? I don't get it. What even makes me want that stuff? It don't taste good. What was doing that? And he said it really plain and really clear, and he didn't mince words. He said, because you're a coward. Wait a minute. Hold on.
Right.
You're a coward. You wanted to talk to girls, and you couldn't do that unless you were drunk, because you didn't know, and you didn't like you, and you were afraid of you. So you needed something to change and alter who you were so that you could be something that you weren't. And the funny thing was, it worked for a night or two, but the eventuality, you can't drink every night. So the minute you stopped drinking, the person saw you, and now they were gone anyway. That you were just scared. I said, oh God, because it was the truth. If I went around people, I was too scared to be me. So while they're drinking, I got to drink, because eventually we will be on the same page, even if we can't speak the same language, because we all drunk the same and we started having fun together and so forth and so on. Can't even understand one another's words, but we understand that the liquor is moving us. Marijuana does exactly the same thing, so does drugs and anything else. It's there to alter who you are and make you something delusional that you're not. And the more delusion you go into, and the longer you stay in the delusion, the farther away you get from knowing who you are. And so you have to become what the thing makes of you. That's why you got to keep having it. Because it's not the thing that's going into me anymore. It's now the stuff that the thing is making come out of my heart that now becomes my identity.
Wow.
Wow. Okay. It's crazy because my uncle sounds just like him saying this right now. Like, and my uncle's, me and him talk to each other or whatever, and we help each other. Like, he's struggling with cigarettes and drinking. I'm just struggling. I gave up the drinking. It was easy for me to give that up. I didn't really like it. No way. I didn't start smoking until my mid-30s. I'm 50 now. So, like, and I did ask myself, I'm like, why is it so hard when I never really depended on this anyway? I had a natural high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, Sister Nicole, I think what happens over time, because Satan is not just a devil, but the funny part is that the Bible says when he first came, he came as an angel of light.
Mm-hmm.
And so almost everything we've ever gotten ourselves involved with always starts off looking good. Until it goes bad.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes a problem.
It becomes a bondage.
He always makes it all look good. That's why you got to be careful. And I'm going to say this especially to our young sisters. And boy, did we go way over tonight, but I hope everybody's okay with that. We were supposed to be done at 7. But I want to say this especially to our women. You have absolutely no right to invest yourself in anybody that you meet. And when I say invest, I mean I'm hooking up. I want to talk. Let's talk. You have absolutely no right to invest your emotional part of you. You can talk to anybody without being emotional or without getting all touchy. Ooh, I'm so sorry. Can I help you? Is there something I can do? You got no right to invest yourself emotionally in anything or anybody that you ain't seen go through enough hell to know that the person that you're seeing is who they really are. Because I think somebody can fool you for years. Let mama die and you see a whole different person. Somebody can sit back and have you thinking they this person, your best friend. But let something come up and you need them to show up at the hospital or go take care of your kids because you in the hospital and all of a sudden they ain't so friendly no more. You need to see people in their... Here's the best way I can describe it. Everybody listening? Here's the best way I can describe it. If I take a tomato and I put it inside of a blender that's going to put a ton of pressure on that tomato and I turn that blender on, that blender is going to put that pressure on, and then when I put the little cup up under it, I'm going to get some tomato juice. When I take an orange and put it in that blender and I put the pressure on it, that thing is going to fall on that orange and it's going to shake it up and rake it up and break it up. And then when I put the cup up, it's orange juice. You don't know what juice you're getting into the pressures there. You better stay away from some folk and learn how to just be friendly and not be a friend to nothing until you done seen what happens to it under some pressure. Because that's when whatever's in you is going to come out is when the pressure is on.
Yeah. All conditions.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
You do not, people can wear, and I'm not calling people anything. I'm just saying, let me testify myself. I grew up in a lot of circumstances with a lot of different things going on around me. And unfortunately, Satan teaches you how to wear masks. And you put on the mask in the circumstance. At the party, I'm the party guy. At the club, I'm the club guy. At the at the basketball court, I'm Michael Jordan. Over here, I'm the soccer guy. Over there, I'm this guy. And eventually you start losing fact on who you really are. You're just the guy trying to get along with everybody's in every circumstance around you. When God takes your mask off, that's when you find who you are. And the mask comes off by coming to do just this and being able to say, just like Paul, oh no, I was a killer. No, I was messing y'all up, man. I know. Because the mask was off. Because while Paul was doing it, he couldn't see he was doing no wrong. And that's why Jesus says what goes in, not the thing that goes in, but what it makes come out of you becomes the problem.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't just marijuana. It ain't just drinking. It's if I go around some people and they alter who I am, that went in me and it came back out of me as something else.
Mm-hmm. I want to quote Evangelist Ward one more time.
Say it again.
I want to quote Evangelist Vandora one more time.
Mm-hmm.
All I hear in the spirit now is when you are in your virtue, when you get into your virtue, who God has truly made you to be, not with the world and circumstances and family and TV and all that good stuff made you to be. When you are in your virtue, that's where your power is.
That's where the power lies.
Amen.
Be there. As long as I have to take something to anesthetize who I truly am in order to manufacture who I'm truly not.
Okay. Come on. Okay.
I'm manufacturing something. In fact, now let's go back to, so the sick person, somebody's taking pain pills and they getting bubbly, they running out to the club, they chasing women, they trying to get you high, they want to get the next person high, so forth and so on, that same demon is running everywhere. And that person finds God gave that thing up and they threw with that. Man, I don't need that because I'm free and free indeed. I praise the Lord. I don't have to be bubbly to be bubbly. I don't have to be drunk in the spirit. I know ain't no high like the Most High now. I'm over in this category. I got the wine flowing through me, and it ain't MD 2020, and it wasn't some Ripple or whatever it was. I got the real wine flowing. Now watch this. However, I've gotten old, like Paul said, my body dissolves. And then you gotten old, and now you got pains in your body that you done prayed about, God ain't delivered that, you got pain because that body has gotten old. And the doctor prescribes the medication, right? Excuse me.
Yeah.
Watch what I'm getting ready to say. That pill ain't gonna never feel like it felt before. Because now it can't alter you. Now it can't alter you. And no matter what happens, you will stay the woman or the man of God. And anytime that thing gets in between the woman and the man of God, you get rid of it anyway. Because once you experience, like Sister Angela said, once you hit your virtue in God, you're going to know there's nothing that feels better than this.
Amen.
And you'll never let anything come in between that. Not drug, not a woman, not a man, not a new car. I'd rather drive an old car with the bill paid than a new car and be frustrated and filled with anxiety and I'm not feeling God no more. Because the bill
is Amen.
Something is getting in the way between me and this relationship because I can feel this gap now. So that's what the marijuana is going to do. That's what it's meant to do. Does that help?
Okay. Yes.
Praise the Lord. So let's get ready to close out. I'm going to ask Sister Deborah to close us out tonight. Oh, she's still here.
I'm here.
Thank you. Okay.
Heavenly Father, thank you for such an informed Bible study. Thank you for Pastor Monroe being such a great Bible study teacher and apostle. Father God, thank you for everybody that was on this Bible study line tonight. Father God, I pray that we all got the right understanding of what this Bible study was all about, Father. I pray that your deliverance and your will be done all throughout the rest of our days, Father, so that we can get it right and that we can be doers of your word and not just hearers, Father.
Well,
we want to follow you, Father, in the way you will have us to follow you. Father God, and let us be strong in the Lord and mighty in battle, Father, so that we can stand before men and say, I'll let nothing and nobody separate me from the love of Christ and the word of God. Yes, Father, we need you, and we need you for that reason alone. Father God, I pray that you will help us to save us. I pray you will save us from ourselves.
Amen.
We wake up and we got a whole total different something going on. And we don't even know where it comes from, but it's there. Father God, help us. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Father God, I pray you bless Evangelist Monroe. Father God, he hears your voice anytime you speak to her. And Father God, she shares the word with us also. I thank you that we are getting the truth and it's being rightfully divided amongst us. Father God, thank you. Father God, these blessings I ask in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Thank you. Sister Donna, you okay? Glory to God. Yes, sir. Thank you so much for your input into the Word of God tonight.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You know, there's that big target on your back, Donna. Satan knows who you are. When he knows who you are, he puts a target on your back, and every imp and demon can get to shoot at you. I had a day this week that was so like the hits were coming from so many different directions. Mm-hmm. Sister Donna, I had to turn on 5 different pastors at the same time. Preaching. I had to be poured into. Because it was coming from everywhere, and 99% of it was absolute nonsense. And I'm going, I can't believe this. Mm-hmm. And it was just hitting everything.
I feel like that. I feel like that sometimes. But I know that what's on the inside of me, and I know who's trying to track it. Mm-hmm. The enemy is trying to track it, but I'm standing strong. Apostle, I'm standing strong. I will not back down. I'm more than a conqueror.
Amen. Hallelujah.
All right, Sister God, we love you. And we love everybody that came. Gloria, what a wonderful testimony. Thank you. Sister Angela, wonderful words and testimonies. Brother Latif. Keep it up, man. I'll be able to go and take a rest, and you can do the Bible studies. We are
Hallelujah.
Oh my God! I'm so grateful. I love you all. I love you all. Your family.
Yes, we love you too.
Thank you.
Good night. God bless everyone.
Good night, Dwan.
Good night, Dwan.